Our scripture reading this morning is Habakkuk chapter 1 up through chapter 2 verse 4. I invite you to follow along. The message is entitled, A Watchman of Faith. Habakkuk chapter 1, starting in the first verse. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Verse 4. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if it were told, you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like vultures swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at the fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own strength is their God. O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made men like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet, and so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying the nations without mercy? Chapter 2. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. The righteous will live by his faith. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. All-knowing God, we thank you. Your holy, inspired, inner word, Lord, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation. Powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purpose for which you send it out. Lord, we read Habakkuk, and we see our day. We pray the Holy Spirit to give us discernment, to guide us through this scripture. We see what you desire to reveal. And I pray you do not let this preacher get in your way. Amen. Do you know what a guard frequency is? There are many government agencies that monitor guard frequencies, but as you know, my experience is with the Coast Guard. For each radio band, there is a designated emergency frequency that would be constantly listened to. In other words, constantly guarded. This applies to maritime vessels and it applies to aircraft. If someone is in dire distress, they would flip one switch to automatically go to the guard frequency. And then they press or key the transmitter and declare, "Mayday, mayday, mayday, this is fishing vessel Mary Lou taking on water." Or, "Mayday, mayday, mayday, this is Coast Guard Hilo 6012, we have lost an engine." Something of that sort. Each Coast Guard unit maintains communications with their vessels and their aircraft. Every 15 minutes, you would report back to the unit on a regular working frequency to report operations normal with your current position. And if you failed to report, every effort is made to establish communications. And if that's unsuccessful, an emergency will be declared and a search will be initiated using your last known position. Everyone monitors the guard frequencies. When an emergency is declared, then rescue efforts are coordinated and you are authorized to transmit and receive over that guard frequency. In addition to the local units, the Coast Guard has larger regional communication stations with more sophisticated equipment. And for some years now, vessels and aircraft have saltwater activated emergency locator beacons that actually transmit to satellites. Now our prophet Habakkuk is a watchman of faith. He sees that his nation is in dire distress. He is heartsick over the sinful and fallen condition of his people. God's chosen people are living in a culture of violence. Habakkuk paints a very dark picture using the colors of gray, brown, black, and the red of blood. He cries out to God, "Mayday, mayday, mayday." Violence with an exclamation point surrounds him. Violence coupled with destruction. Habakkuk cannot escape seeing injustice. Strife is anger or bitter disagreement over fundamental issues. Conflict abounds. It is everywhere. And it seems that nothing is exempt from this conflict. Last Sunday afternoon, I participated in a pro-life rally in Northfield. One of our state legislators has authored a bill that will expand abortion on demand. He owns a market in Northfield, so the rally took place on the sidewalks on both sides of the street in front of the market. There were signs, "Pray to end abortion," "Save the babies," "Adoption, not abortion," and the like. You get the idea. Scripture was read, prayers were prayed. Some of the passing cars waved and beeped encouragement. Other cars gave us the finger and gestured wildly at us. One man yelled out, "Kill the babies!" And then he laughed one of those maniacal laughs that I thought only happened in the movies. Violent crime was up significantly last year, and this year the trend continues. I believe we are seeing a ripple effect here locally due to that violence. On the Galloway Happenings Facebook group, there's a lot of posting about how hard the local rental market has become. And when I got my hair cut this week, the barber who was cutting my hair was lamenting that she and her son are staying in a French studio apartment in Atlantic City because they can't find a two-bedroom apartment that they can afford. Homes are selling quickly, and it's being called a seller's market. People are trying to escape the cities and the associated violence. Habakkuk described this situation as so bad that the law was paralyzed. Can we not identify with Habakkuk's complaint? Some cities have defunded law enforcement. The courts are jammed with long wait times. Jails are overcrowded so badly, the prisoners are given early release. And our culture is sue happy, and the lawyers solicit for more business. Remember also that this meant God's law was paralyzed because the society's law, the Jewish culture, had derived their law from Scripture. And again, we can empathize with Habakkuk. What once was unlawful is now not only legal, but often receives government support. Evil is called good, and good is called evil. Imagine what it must have been like for Habakkuk to say, justice never prevails, justice is perverted. The wicked surround the righteous. There's oppression, there's abuse. The whole of the societal system seems to prevent the wicked to prosper, while those that honor God perish. Habakkuk, a watchman of faith, turns the switch of his communications equipment to the guard frequency and announces the emergency. He prays to the Lord, "My God, my Holy One." But something is wrong. There is no response. There is no answer. Because he lives by faith, he continues to pray. And then he prays some more. "How long? How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. But you do not say, how long?" Maybe you can identify with Habakkuk. Maybe you have walked a mile in his sandals. Finally, an answer comes. But it's not a welcome answer. The Lord is going to do the unbelievable. Do not miss the fact that God is saying he is sovereign. God is in control of history. The Lord had used the Assyrians, and now he will raise up the Babylonians to conquer the Assyrians and to become a great and fearful empire. They will be an instrument of correction, a purifying fire of affliction for God's chosen people. The Lord knows exactly what these Babylonians are like, and still he chooses to use them. They are ruthless, impetuous, a feared and dreaded people. Their pride is described in several ways. Their military might comes upon all as an overwhelming flood that nothing can withstand. They worship themselves and their weapons of destruction. They are pagans and idolaters. God has given Habakkuk his answer of judgment. And the Lord was correct. As always, even what has been revealed is difficult for Habakkuk to apprehend. While God is his rock, who is pure and holy, how is it that this treacherous people have been ordained to punish Judah? Twice we are told here that God cannot tolerate wrong. Notice that Habakkuk loves the Lord, respects the Lord, fears the Almighty. But at the same time, he engages his Creator. He bears his heartache and frustration before God. And notice the huge factor of time that Habakkuk is conveying to us. How long? God tells him to watch and wait. "For I am going to do something in your days." Surely Habakkuk is thinking, when will that be? God is in the process of raising up the Babylonians. They have many battles before they will get to Judah. God has been silent, indicating an expanse of time. When it is time for the Lord to reply to Habakkuk's second plight, he says, "The revelation awaits an appointed time. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come." Waiting can be hard, very hard. The doctor insists on a biopsy. Waiting for the test results is hard. Your son, daughter, brother, or sister has been deployed overseas in a hazardous area. They've been gone 6 months. You have not heard from them in 3 weeks. and you wonder what's going on. When will the organ donor come forward? You have sent out 125 resumes and sent follow-up letters. Someone, please call. Habakkuk, the faithful watchman, promises to go back to work and assume his duties. Habakkuk will stand his watch and station himself on the wall. He puts himself in proper position to watch and see. A watchman is alert, diligent, disciplined, and dutiful. Sometimes a night on watch is very long, and the daylight seems quite slow in coming. Then night follows night, and where is the revelation? Over my 28 and a half years in the U.S. Coast Guard, I stood a variety of watches. One of those required the use of a Detex watchstander's clock. And it looked something like a canteen with a clock on it, and it had a strap so that you could carry it on your shoulder and still have your hands free to work. And inside of this clock was a paper disc that rotated with the time, and in the side of the clock there was keyholes for you to insert into this Detex clock. And around the unit or the station, there would be small metal boxes with keys inside. They were attached with a chain. And when you made your rounds at each one of these points, you would take the key, insert it into the clock, and turn it. And each key is different. It makes a unique perforation on the paper disc. And this records the time you were at each one of these stations. Your watch standing had several purposes. You were making sure that there weren't any trespassers. You were making sure that there was no one out and about making mischief. You were on the lookout for fire. If there was a safety issue or something was broken, you might note it for the morning, or if it was immediate, you'd wake somebody up to take care of it then. It could be boring. Sometimes the hardest part was staying awake while the seconds tick slowly by. You watch that secondhand, it seems really slow. You are required to record all that happened or didn't happen in a logbook. You would record the time of each event, and at the end of the watch, you would sign the log and brief your relief on the current situation. You were held accountable. Your logbook was reviewed. Your Detex clock could be examined to make sure each round was completed fully and on time. Like Habakkuk, each Christian is called to be faithful watchmen. We will be held accountable. The book of our life will be examined. The Bible has a lot to say about the book of life and the day of reckoning. I just give you one verse from the lips of Jesus in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. The Lord replied to Habakkuk, "The righteous will live by faith." Now, to this point, you might not have realized that this is part of our ongoing sermon series that we've been in for 4 weeks now. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live supernatural lives when we live by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? We see some answers to that question in today's text. Living by faith means having a heart attuned to the things of God. You love justice, you hate wickedness. You love the law and the ways of God. You have a relationship with the Lord where you can bear your soul and your heartache. And when the going gets tough, the faithful go to God. You are faithful in your duties for the people and for the kingdom. You have patience and you persevere. You proclaim God's will to the people because that's what a prophet does. You trust God and his promises even when the answers to your prayer is not what you hoped it would be. How do we nurture and sustain our faith in the face of adversity? To use the DTEX Watch Angels Clock as a metaphor, what are the keys to activating our faith in our daily walk? We will briefly address that now, but expand on it in the weeks to come. The first key point is that we must love God wholeheartedly. Now, you've heard that so often that it almost seems trite, but it is central to the security of our faith. Now, this means spending time in relationship. This means pursuing knowledge and experience of God. Of course, the automatic next key station is to love our neighbors as ourselves. This includes acts of mercy, feeding, clothing, and caring for others. The next station, and remember these overlap and connect between each key station, is to worship God. That includes corporate worship in the body of Christ here, like we're doing now, and it includes personal worship, as you are intentionally aware of the Lord during the day. Not surprisingly, the next station will be daily devotions. If at all possible, begin your day in alone time with God. There are so many devotional tools available to us today. Anywhere you take your phone can be a devotional space. You read God's word in a contemplative way and how others have applied the scriptures to their lives and to their prayers. As a natural development, you will want to study your Bibles. Through this study, the Holy Spirit can teach you about the indwelling Christ. God the Holy Spirit will teach you the meaning of scriptures. How can you know the promises of God and claim those promises for yourself and for your loved ones if you do not know what they are? That brings us to the next key station, trusting God. Take what you have learned about God and not only believe it intellectually, but literally bet your life on it. You know this scripture, Romans 8:28? Paul says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." The last key station for now will be your prayer closet. While at each key station, pray, but at this one, let it become your war room. If you've not seen the movie by that name, I highly recommend it. As a watchman of faith, this is where we do battle. Many people have been blessed by keeping a written record or logbook. Some people use prayer journals, naming people, your prayer request, your intercession for them, and the results. My wife Carol keeps a daily gratitude list of 3 items each day. You may want to pour out your heart to God on paper. In today's scripture, we have a short account of Habakkuk's heartfelt concerns. Habakkuk was a prophet speaking to the southern kingdom of Judah. They should have known better. The northern kingdom of Israel had already been defeated and exiled by the Assyrians 125 years previous. They too had failed to respond to God's prophets, and God brought judgment against them. How about us? Have we not seen God work throughout history? Will we not heed the lessons taught in Scripture? Over the last year or so, we have seen a lot of people wondering on social media about, are we near the end times? Is Jesus' return in the rapture at hand? Well, Jesus tells us that no one but the Father knows the answer to that. But the righteous will live by faith. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. And amen. Let us pray. Most precious and perfect Father, we thank you for the blessing of your word. We look at the accounts of Scripture, and we wonder how people can be so blind, how our leaders can be so blind, how our culture can be so blind. We know that without you, we are lost. But let us persevere. Let us live out our faith. Let us claim your promises. Let us share your promises. Let us model a life-giving gospel. Lord, we know we are called to live by faith, but we're not always sure what that means. Let us pursue that this day and the days to come. How we can activate our faith, grow into our faith. How we can claim the promises of a supernatural life, fully dependent and immersed in you. I ask all these things in the name of your Son and our Savior, the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.